Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction.
The most strategic thing to know in any season is what God is doing in that season. It is not enough to have the consciousness that you are coming into a new season. It is not enough to even know that this is the Last Day Church. It is not enough to even know that we are in the era of revival. It is important we know what God is doing in era of revival.
He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
That was strong. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like you to recalibrate and then go inward. The significance of the meeting is the witness of the Spirit in your heart. Is that okay? I don't want you to shout away the dealings of God in this meeting. Is that simple enough? Lift your hands to God and say, Father, speak to me. I'd like you to be very, very intentional, be deliberate. The word of the Lord will be coming. I ask you to speak. Speak to you. Thank you, Father. Bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Please be seated. Thank you. I'm going to do the work of a foreigner. All right? God has prepared vessels for this meeting, so I'm just going to trust God to help me lay the foundation. Amen. Trust God that I'll be able to lay on the foundations that have been laid and not, you know, scatter. We are gatherers, not scatterers. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me lay a foundation. I've been given a very interesting subject to speak on. And I understand that this is not just a conference, this is a revival conference. If you listen well, the fire of God will burn in your heart. Is that okay? It will burn. I've been given a very interesting subject to speak on, which is the burning watchmen. The burning watchman. You may want to personalize it, burning watchman. And I'd like to show you a scripture quickly to that effect. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 33. Ezekiel, chapter number 33. We start the reading from verse 1. Ezekiel 33 from verse 1. So please listen well. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Ezekiel 33 from verse 1. If you're in the New Testament, you are wrong. You need to fellowship more with your Bible. Amen. Ezekiel 33, 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, speak, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, the blood shall be on his own head. Now verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning, his blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning, will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from amongst them, he's taken in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now, verse 7 is a very interesting one. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear the word at my mouth and shall warn them for me. Please pay attention. If there's anything that fascinates me about my generation, it is the fact that we speak many big things that we don't understand. And sometimes there are big things that we don't really mean. Oh Lord, use me till there's no me left. They are very big words. If you see a man who understands what it means for God to use a person, they don't talk anyhow. Amen? So sometimes we also like to use words like, I am on fire. That's a very big word. And most times when you find out that the average definition of being on fire is that you speak in tongues. But fire consumes. Amen? Fire does what? Say it loud and clear. Fire does what? Consumes. The fire that comes from God consumes anything that is not God. It burns. When Elijah was going to call down fire, he asked them to fill the trenches with water. And scripture said that when the fire came, the fire licked up the waters. You know, a girl came to meet some of my people years back and said to them that I want you guys to follow me because I am the territorial watcher over this territory. Hey, I told them, don't follow her because watchmen don't announce themselves. Please, I want you to pay attention. I'm going to be speaking briefly for just 30 minutes. I know I have more time, but I just want to lay foundation. Is that okay? Just 30 minutes. How many of you know what it means to be a watchman? Because many of the things we are saying are not really good news until God has prepared a man. Let's talk about a revival. I'm scared of it. Because many people don't survive it. When you see where revival comes, many relationships don't survive revival. Many churches don't survive revival. Look at what scripture says in Genesis chapter number 2 from verse 5. Genesis 2:5. If they can help us and project the scripture, I'll be glad. So I can just go on and teach. Genesis 2:5. Can you give us on the screen? Now look at it. Before any plant of the field was in the heads, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the heads, and there was no man to till the ground. God does not see abundance as a blessing until men are prepared. Revival is not a good news in any territory until men are prepared. Revival is not a good news in any territory until men are prepared. And I hope somebody is going to pay attention and get what I want to tell you. There are many people that would have been still, they would have been in the faith, have survived it. But leadership position came before preparation came. So they didn't survive it. Some people, the time they laid hands on people and they got their healing, that was the last time they appeared before God. So God prioritizes preparing a man before he pours out. whenever I talk in this direction, my heart bleeds. Because I have the memories of people that would have still done well. But the church thought attendance means that they were mature. And they gave them positions and they were dying daily. Till we found out that they were not even interested. So when with the topic I've been given about the burning watchman, let me tell you one of the very interesting facts. The assignment of a watchman is very interesting, but an average Christian does not like a watchman. I'm going to give a very good example. The duty of a watchman is to sound the alarm. Let me show you Joel chapter number 2 from verse 1. Started with something very interesting. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Amen. Somebody said again, sound the alarm. That's the assignment. Look at it. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm, my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. For the day is at hand. Now, let me lay a foundation before we even go into other intricacies. Please, I want you to look at me, everybody. I understand that many of us believers have spoken about spiritual warfare at some point, fighting the good fight of faith. But there are two sides to it. And there's a reason why having the fire is not enough proof that you are ready for the battle. And I want you to understand that in context. Having the fire is not enough proof that you are ready for what? The battle. So I'm going to give you an instance. One of the things that the devil has succeeded in doing is to make sure that the first confrontations you have are not demons. As a matter of fact, the first confrontation you have is likely somebody who is also seated beside you in Christ Jesus above all principalities. And I'm going to tell you why. Because a baby Christian is the most effective tool in the arsenal of the devil against the move of God. I'm going to show you a scripture. Look at the book of Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let me take you. We're going to read from Message translation. If you have Message translation, just wave. Those who are projecting, do you have Message? No, they don't have Message. So I'm going to open Ezekiel chapter number 4. Because you need to understand. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter number 4. You need this foundation before we now begin to go into the intricate duties of a watchman. Now, if you read from King James translation, Ephesians 4 verse 14. Ephesians 4 verse 14. I pray that somebody will never forget what we're about to discuss in the name of Jesus. Say that amen again loud and clear. Ephesians 4 verse 14 said that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That sounds like very big English. You know, I like to read the Bible in very simple ways for understanding, not just for quoting, for us to understand. Now, let me read Message translations. Now, look at something very serious. It said, no prolonged infancies amongst us, please. We will not tolerate babes in the woods. Small children who are easy mark for impostors. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and tell it in love. So if Jesus is going to come to the world, it is going to be difficult for those who are not in the synagogue to kill him. It will have to be those who are in the synagogue to kill him. Because they are the most effective tool that can say, this is our religion and it's not a part of us, let's kill him. If somebody is going to bring a revival to a church, and let's give an instance, at a church that they are not used to praying in the Holy Ghost, if you study the move of God, you will discover that those who fought the move of God are also Christians. There is little to what Islam has done to the move of God. There is a lot to what Christianity has done to Christianity. There is a lot to what a believer who doesn't understand the uniqueness of what God is doing in another believer do to bring the believers down. When Pastor He Adeboye lost his child, it was Christians who came out and said, despite all his prayers, he couldn't save his own son. Are you following what I'm telling you here now? So you must understand that when you think that it is the devil you are going to face headlong, you are preparing for the greatest shock of your life. Because you will have to survive your brethren, because they're going to be the one the devil will use. So when we talk about the duty of a watchman, as he sounds the alarm, the first enemy of the watchman is the church. Alright? And there are a lot of stories I could share with you. And it is important you know this. One of the things this knowledge will do is that it will help you not to overrate yourself. We're in a generation where the fact that people are not dragging you is not a sign that you are wise. And that they are dragging you doesn't mean you are wise either. It doesn't mean you are also foolish. Because as long as you sound the alarm as a watchman, it irritates people who are not positioned for it. Amen. So, most times what we do is that, and I'm telling you this, many people, many relationships don't survive the move. And sometimes even marriages, and this teaching we heard this morning is one of the most easily understood teaching I've heard about this. So very real. I don't know if you can bear witness to that. Very real. And it is these simple things that many people don't understand and they crash. Because that's why I don't tell people that a scripture is popular. I don't have a popular scripture. Because the day you call it popular, it ceases to bless you. Sometimes the secret is in the simple things. Read your Bible, pray every day. Everybody wants to know what is the secret of your fire. Read your Bible, pray every day. What other secret do you want to know? If you read your Bible and you pray, you'll be on fire. But people just want something out to ignore the caucus and just pass some electives. And they say the secret of his fire. You see that? Every other thing is secondary. Amen? How many of you have been part of the move? Probably on campus. That it was when the revival came that you lost relationships with people. And people misunderstood you. Some called you different names and lost relationship with you. Some insulted you. Some saw you as a devil. And some people, so many of our fathers, were kicked out of their churches. Reverend Dr. Omaopa was sent out of the church he was attending. Bishop Francis Waluke was sent out of the church he was attending. Many of them were not considered to be doing the right things. And that's why one of the things that God needs to do in a man is to build in him the ability to trust his validation of him. Amen? So, one of my spiritual sons reached out to me and he said to me, whenever you think about me, what comes to your mind? I said, well, you have asked a very interesting question. I'm just going to answer you, but make sure this is the last time you ever ask me this question. Because the temptation is that you want to walk your way into a belief system. And that's exactly why many have lost their ministries. There are many people who have no business around what they are shouting about. What happens is that people look for what draws their attention in a generation and do it. If what draws their attention now is that people are saying fire, they join and shout fire. But you see, before a man will be a watchman, there has to be a voice from God, say, hear ye him. And before God will call the attention of a generation to pay attention to a man, he has changed the message. Because he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know what he's standing for. Revival is never a noise. You are carrying a torch you have to carry for life. And not many people carry that torch for a long time. My wife were driving home, I think on Tuesday after Bible study. And my wife stretched her phone and said, look at this. Showed me the picture of a young man who was actually plaiting his hair and using earrings and about 6 rings on his fingers. And he's a prophet. When I looked at the picture, I said, I knew it. When this great man of God was pushing this guy out, he wasn't ready for this. And you see, the rate at which you can become a blessing when you carry the torch well is the rate at which you can become a problem to the move of God. Sometimes we talk about apostles in the marketplace, Christians in the field, Christians doing this. Hey, have you survived church before you survived the world? Because if you are looking at the anointing on the Daniel, you will have to dwell in the palace where they serve strong drinks. And women will come and dance. And yet, when they want to accuse you, the only thing they can accuse you of is that he can't stop praying. That's the anointing on the Daniel. So being a watchman is something very serious. Number one, the watchman is standing on an elevation that allows him to see beyond the natural human eyes. He stands upon his watch. So where a watchman stands is called a watchtower. And you need to understand that. A watchman stands where? On a watchtower. Usually the watchtower is the tallest building in any location where a watchman is going to stand. So when you read Habakkuk and he said, I will stand upon my watch to see what I shall answer when I'm reproved of him, he was talking about the watchtower. And what is very significant about that is that if the enemy is going to invade a city that a watchman is, the primary first area of target is the watchtower. Because if you can bring down the one who sees, you'll bring down every other person. Because the fight is going to meet them unaware. So a believer who is a watchman is going to be the focus of the devil. Listen, the reason why the devil is not attacking many believers is because they are not a threat. Is attacking those who are praying for them, not them. And they boast in the fact that they are free from attack. Somebody is living in sin and is still holding the mic to preach. And then he has something to say that I am living. You know, when people don't understand the mercy of God, they look for a doctrine around it and say there's a special kind of grace. And the devil says yes. Because he wants to fatten them up at a point where they are fall. Will cause many other falls. So if the devil doesn't have your time, it is because you are not a threat. If you do things right in the kingdom, the devil will use Christians to come after you for no just cause. And that's why you can see a Christian will be doing something that is going well. It is another Christian that will say, what is he doing? I think we had one recently. I'm not going to go into that. I'm just saying, what are they? Are people receiving miracles? Yes. Are they being blessed? Yes. Thousands of people gathered online who could have been living in sin and doing different things and will gather to pray. And somebody says that the word you use is not doctrine. The fellow is a believer, but is just not standing where you stand. And when you don't stand where you stand, you will think you are fighting the devil when you are fighting the move of God. So there are many Christians that if we really pray that the enemy of the church will die, the church is going to bury many people Because there are people, look at it, Saul of Tarsus thought he was fighting for the kingdom, right? Yes. But Jesus said that it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. He even asked him that, why are you persecuting me? And that's why it is dangerous to speak against the believer. There is a kind of courage we have. Demons saw Jesus from afar. Began to worship. Some began to run. It took high priest to slap him. And you know what demons will say? Me, Osimbel, I'm not the one. So you see believers who have. And we brand it in one word. We know the truth. Let me show you something. I said this in a just concluded conference. I was going to minister somewhere. And before they called me to minister, the Lord opened my eyes to see something. And it's about the move of God. I want about five brothers to come. Five brothers, come. Let me show you what the Lord showed me. Please come and stand here and be on the straight line. Thank you. Let me have two more brothers. No, we come, as long as your brother come. My friend, come. Come and join us. Amen. Now, the Lord showed me this vision, and I saw people with their hands locked like this. Lock your hands together. And I saw people, and their formation was from where they were standing till the ends of the earth. And they stood before a seashore. And according to that vision, they were waiting for the move of God. Because you understand, when you have prophetic visions, you will know beyond your natural knowing in the vision. So I knew in that vision that what they were waiting for was the point that the water will foam, or the evening tide will come and cover them completely. It has to be a total immersion. Every level it touches you brings a measure of power, but it has to immerse you completely. You see? So they were standing, and before the wave rose, there was a wind that blew upon all of them. The kind of wind that blew in Ezekiel 37. That blew upon the slain. Blew on them. And they were filled with power. But that was not the totality of what they were waiting for. And when the power touched them, some of them caught themselves from those company. Come. Caught themselves and began to manifest. And were doing stuffs. And were doing stuffs. But others were still locked. And at some point, the wave started rising and it started sweeping their legs, and some also caught themselves. And I noticed that the second people that came out of that waiting process had another dimension of authority that the first did not have. So was each level that left the process at every time. Each level, they were coming up with greater authority. And I noticed something. Please be seated. Thank you. Amen. Anytime there is a breakout of what looks like civil war in the body of Christ, doctrinal war, it is always going to be the babies against the mature ones. They'll call them defendants. You know, somebody wrote something on Facebook years back and was writing about Pastor Hia Adeboye. He said, they call you spiritual father over Nigeria. You don't believe in one saved, forever saved. You are a spiritual boy. So I read that. Because that's where the temptation is. In dictating your own affiliation, you might inherit enemies. I just knew that God will have to help this guy. You see, people will rise and say things that they have no understanding of. If you go to NYSC camp, that's the best example of me showing you what a watchman is. Those guys, some of you have served here. Let me see your hands up. You have served in Nigeria. Let me see your hands up. Okay, just a few. All right. You see that probably around 5 a.m. or thereabout, there are some guys that bring some very wicked trumpets and blows it in a way that even if you were competing with dead people, you rise. And you now mark that unique sound. Because anytime that sound comes, it means there's going to be a change of activity. A watchman announces change of activity. When God raised a watchman, if people have been sleeping and a watchman shows up, it means let those who are sleeping stop sleeping. If they have been eating, it means begin to fast. A watchman brings the announcement of change, and people don't like change. And one of the most, my God, you know what I'm saying is very real to me. Because there are people who have come to the body of Christ and functioned, and they function without examples for them. People who rose up in the days of the silence of God. We have examples of them in the Bible. Elijah the Tishbite. There was silence. Suddenly he rose. John the Baptist. After 400 years of silence, then he rose. And sometimes you find out that because these people don't have examples of how not to get into extremes, sometimes they die early. And that's why I said, what I'm saying is very real. And I sat down and I laid my hands. I was able to get the journal of Apostle Ayo Babalola before he died. And I saw meetings in Warri, in Okeodo, and different places at a time when there were no fast moving cars. And when I look at that itinerary written there, nobody should survive it. And some of these people died earlier, despite the fact that we still needed them. You look at stories of people like A. Allen, Archbishop Benson Idahosa. They were the frontliners who came at a point where certain dimensions were not open in the body of Christ, and they brought an announcement. Now we have fathers who are examples on how to carry the anointing and last. How to carry the anointing and know when to rest. But some of them had no models. So they made certain mistakes and all that. It is the one who is in front that receives the greatest heat. When God is setting you as a frontliner, the first of a kind, the first to get married in a family where women have been getting pregnant, the first to go to school in a family where people have been dropping out of school, the first to become a pastor in a family where people are chronic adulterers, fornicators, and drunkards, the one who has to watch on behalf of others. If you are not careful to know what is written in scripture, you may only begin the fight and not know how to finish it. Because that was what happened to Samson. It began the deliverance of Israel. And if you are the first of any of these things, you have to pray. Don't be satisfied with the fact that you are praying the way others are not praying. It is not enough just to pray the way they are not praying. It is enough to pray through. Because there is going to be temptation to settle halfway because you are first of a kind. But don't forget, when you are first of a kind, you are a pattern. So it is important that the pattern is not the one who fought the battle halfway, but the one who finished. So you have to fight. It's sometimes difficult. Because parents can pray for a child to serve God. And when it begins to serve God, they say it is too much. They may pray that we want to have responsible children, and they don't mind when he goes to his friend's place, or when he goes for meetings, they call him back and say, this is not where we are sending you to. And that's why I told you that sometimes in following God, you must learn to stand in isolation. When you hear stories of fathers, those who started Christian drama,
Evangelist Mike Bangeloye,
it was not the world fighting them, it was the church. Are you following what I'm telling you here? So when God is setting you up as a watchman, understand the bulk of arrows of the enemies will come at you first. I pray for all of you listening to me, you will not make the mistakes of your parents. Say that amen again loud and clear. Say that amen again loud and clear. You know, sometimes somebody says that I'm coming from a family where I know my father's girlfriends and all those things, despite being married to my mother, and say, I'm not going to do that. But the devil will tell you, fight, but don't win completely. So you don't have to be too hot. You don't have to keep girlfriends, but you can be watching pornography. And what he's doing is that he's giving you a ladder that once you start, the other hand means that you become like your father. And most times, because you are anointed, you end up even worse. Are you feeling what I'm telling you here? So when God is setting you up as a watchman, and I perceive strongly in my heart that there are people seated here who are first of certain kinds. It is important you fight through. It is important you win. Don't just become better than the rest. Become all that God has in mind. You know, I'm going to give you a minute. I think I have 2 more minutes to pray. And see, if you need motivation to pray, then you have not received the unction of prayer. Because what I've taught is enough to let somebody know that it's like the devil is setting me up on a pattern. And who ought to be dwelling on the watchtower can become the man in the bungalow if he doesn't finish well. Because when a man is busy messing up, the replacement is warming up. So you have to cry. I don't want to just begin what God is intending in this territory, in my family. I want to finish it. And when I ask you to pray, I mean pray like your life depends on it. And I don't expect you to pray those prayers on your seat. You will get up and make a loud cry. You are sounding an alarm in the spirit realm. I want the man with the sax. We are going to raise a sound. And you will lift your voice and pray it loud. I will not just begin what God intends. I take it to the end. Where's the man? Let's raise a sound. I want somebody on the drum. Come on, take the keyboard higher. We're going to raise a sound, everyone. And announce, I am not a Samson. I will not just start. I complete what God has in mind. I stand on my watch and see ahead what the plan of God is. Hey! Sala kambelo kongrebina. Ya kambele mokonde ki. Hey, kebusu kaba hai. Hey! Shalamonde kaba ya tai. Kabusu bakaya. Bambele mokonde bika ya ta. And the doctor said, I can't fast again. I'm going to kill myself if I have any attempt of that. So I was discharged. I discharged myself. I'm not sure I've gotten to that point where, God, you either help me or kill me. So I went to the house and I started white for another 7 days. And I was on that. I've done the dry like about 4 sessions. When I fell asleep, I pour water on my bed so I have to be on the floor. So I fell asleep in the afternoon. And I had a vision and I saw myself in the same place where I was praying. But this time around I saw a man was lying down dead. And I saw another tall man who looks like an angel and told me to get up. And he said, do you know this man? I said, I don't know him. He said, look at him well. Do you know this man? I said, I don't know him. Then he asked me the third time. And I said, I don't know him. And he said to me, this is the father. I'm not telling you what I saw in a movie. I'm telling you my life. He said, this is the father of your grandfather. When he died, he went with something that belongs to all of you. So I'm going to wake him up for you. Because your prayer has come as a sweet incense before the throne. And you are going to pick what belongs to you. And he carried a trumpet and sounded an alarm. Tonight we are going to have a little teaching, but a lot of prayer for deliverances. And the man got up and was looking fearful. And he said, you have just a minute to pick what belongs to you. And I was shaking. And he said, you have 30 more seconds. So I went to him and I knew instinctively in the dream that I was to put my hands in his chest. And as I did, I could find those things were very many. And I wanted to pack. Because I could identify with my fingers what belongs to who in the family. And I knew they were struggling. And he said, you are only to pick yours. When every man pray and get to this point, they will pick theirs. So I picked mine, and the man fell immediately as dead, and I woke up from the vision. And I knew that something has shifted in my life. But look at the number of days it took to fast and pray. Why did it take that long? Because when the devil does a thing, he wants to go deep with it, so only those who mean business can change it. When I ask you to pray, don't pray like one who's that all your battles are won. I'm going to give you a minute again and I'm going to drop the mic. You will decree and declare, Lord, you have decided to raise me as the first of a kind. I take back all that the enemy has stolen. And then rise where you stand to see what you are doing. Pray. Amen. Everybody put your right hand on your head. And you know, days back I was sharing with one of my friends and we're discussing about our experiences. And he said a word. He said, do you know that the reason why you had to fast like that long was because there was no one who was a witness to that reality around you. You still needed to fast, but there is a Peter that can say, such as I have, I give. I'm going to pray very simple prayers, and the fire of God is going to move through this place. Father, I lift a sound this morning, and I ask that those who have been sleeping
in their duty post as watchmen on behalf of a family, on behalf of a lineage, on behalf of a church and a territory. Let your fire fall now and revive them. Say that amen loud and clear. And I decree that all the devil has stolen over the years, in this season, we begin to witness restoration. Watchmen are receiving the fire to go back to their watchtowers. And we give you praise, dear Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.
The blessings in the word resides with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number, 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME.
To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of this account details, account number 221-500-5289, Femi Lazarus Ministries, UBE.